Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College and co-host of the broadcast. And Doc, we are right in the middle of a great discussion on biblical theology in terms of manhood. What is the biblical theology of manhood? And for those of you joining us today, if you missed the first broadcast in this series, this is a series that we have been doing now on getting our families in shape. And you can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and you can download some of the written material that is there, the handouts that go with this. But the last time we were together, Doc, you shared with us just a very wonderful overview, very quick overview in one broadcast of what the Bible's theology of manhood was. And you gave us 7 quick points, and I wonder if you could just walk us through those real quickly again for those joining us today.
Well, number one, man was created to rule and have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
That was a given. Number two, he was to be responsible. We see that he was fitted to be a husbandman in that particular responsibility. He was to be restricted, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. God put him under authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was to be relational, because what God was doing was preparing man to bring woman into his life. And he laid all the groundwork, because man was going to be the one responsible mm-hmm. to make sure that this earthly relationship worked.
Aloneness was not good.
No. First thing on record is not good was man was alone. And all of us men could say mm-hmm. amen. And then number 5, we are to be saviors, in a sense, delivering from evil. In other words, we are to be protectors of our home. And
right.
we use Mark chapter 3, mm-hmm. verses 22 through 30 in this. And then we are to be sages, or you could pick another word. I think a couple of the references in Doug Jones's book on manhood, and then The Future Man by Doug Wilson, I think he may have used this phrase, to be a sage.
Mm-hmm. The idea there of growing in wisdom.
And Solomon was reminding us in Proverbs 4 what his dad David taught him
mm-hmm.
regarding wisdom. And then key, and the crown jewel of God's creation was man. And verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, we are to be glory bearers. We are to reflect what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to summarize the 4 key, number 1, we are to reflect what God is like. We are to be responsible, which we will see in the New Testament mm-hmm. parallels. We are to be restricted, and we are to be relational. If I were to pick 4, that would be the operational keys.
Well, and we ought to take a look at those 4 in this broadcast, Doc. And so if you were going to really lay those 4 out for us, how would you do it?
I would go to Genesis chapter 2, because we're now continuing
okay.
with the original owner's manual.
Yeah, we used that illustration in our
yes.
last broadcast.
And the fact we had the owner's manual, and it would behoove us to go to the owner's manual to see how he expected this whole thing to operate. And Genesis chapter 2, why don't you read verse 15? Now keep in mind, we've already been told that man was to reproduce. He was to be reflective of God's character. He was to rule. Now let's see in verse 15.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Again, now keep in mind, it was God and Adam.
Right.
Adam was in a perfect environment, perfect relationship, and what did God give him?
He gave him instruction. He gave him a responsibility.
Responsibility. Tend the garden and to keep it. You know, sometimes people say, oh, will it be good to get to heaven? No more responsibility. Give me my harp and my cloud.
Yeah.
But we do forget. Is he who is faithful over
little
things now will be made faithful over many things then,
as
we are reigning with Christ.
I was going to say, there's an interesting way that the scripture ends in Revelation 22, where it talks about, and his servants will serve him.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound like irresponsibility to me, so it's not a cloud and a harp.
That's right.
It is God created man to be responsible, and that responsibility will never end. But we will be in perfection, and it'll be pure joy in the exercise
right.
of that responsibility. And really, as it was here in chapter 2 and verse 15, pre-fall, man was to be responsible. Then read verses 16 and 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, out of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
Now what was man given?
Well, he was given a restriction.
Restriction. That is perfect environment, perfect relationship with God, and God told him something he couldn't do. Verse 16 gives a superabundant yes. You shall freely eat.
Out of everything in the garden.
Verse 17 gives a solitary no.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it just like us?
I was just thinking.
We can have hundreds of good things in one solitary no.
And that's where we focus.
And that's where we focus, because that's what Satan did when he was cast out of heaven and came to earth.
The stolen waters become sweet because they're the prohibited waters. The thing prohibited becomes most sweet to us in our mind.
Yeah, that is true. The illicit is always more exciting to the flesh than that which is legal. And so, what was God doing here with man? Now, why did God give Adam restriction? I mean, we can understand he gave responsibility. Why did he give him restriction? Perfect environment, perfect relationship.
Was it because of what was coming next in Adam's life?
I think in part. I think, number one, he created man to be obedient. He did not create an automaton.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't create a machine that, okay, God said, I want you to love me, and I'll push the love button. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then click, it's off again. No, he created man with a will to respond.
Right. It was voluntary love, voluntary obedience.
Right, voluntary love and obedience. But it was also protective. In other words, because in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, man, God created man with a perfect moral character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he had a testable moral nature.
Right.
Because when we get saved, do we have within us a perfect moral character? I mean, a perfect moral nature.
No.
Well, when we're the Holy Spirit indwelling us.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I checked out here for a minute.
Yeah, we have within us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But do we have perfect moral character? No, that's testable.
Right.
We are to add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, etc.
We still have to make choices, and that's why believers still sin.
So when God was created, what creating man, he was in the very image of God. He had a perfect moral nature because he was in the image of God, but he had a testable moral character. Right. I may have misstated that earlier. He had a testable moral character. And now, he gave him this restriction for protection. Now, what a lesson for families.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember I was in Denver, Colorado, waiting for a pastor to pick me up for an evening meeting. I was at the counter at this restaurant reading my Bible, and a man walked up in a suit, found out that he was a businessman working for the U.S. government. And as a total stranger, he said, "Is that a Bible you're reading?" I said, "Yes." And then he starts pouring out his heart. He said, "I just went through a heart-wrenching divorce." And he said, "I never dreamed when I said my marriage vows that I would be going home. Instead of going home for supper, I would be coming to a restaurant instead of going home to my wife and kids." And he said, "Who will help us?" It's almost like a desperation type cry. This man was hurting. And I said, "Well, sir, I do know this. I don't know you or your situation, but I do know this. When a relationship breaks, someone has been irresponsible and someone has been unrestricted."
Which are the very two things that God gave Adam here at the beginning.
Yeah, because what was he preparing Adam for? He was preparing Adam for, read verse 18.
"And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." And verse 20 says, "There was not found a helpmeet for him in all of those animals." And so verse 21, "The Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man."
So there we see God was preparing Adam to bring Eve into his life. But what a lesson that is. We as men prepared vertically. Adam had only a vertical relationship
with God.
Mm-hmm. With God. He was ruling over the animals. But there was no relationship with these animals.
There was just the idea of responsible care and protection.
He had a responsibility to help them, just like he had a responsibility to tend the garden, to keep it. But now when it came to woman, man was given a totally different responsibility because he was now having a relationship with another created of God's being that was like him.
Mm-hmm.
Not an ape, not a chimpanzee, not a gorilla, not an anteater. In fact, when Adam saw all these animals, he said there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the phrase, God, Adam was alone and it was not good.
That's what you said was the first not good in the scriptures.
And everything that was created, and it was very good, and it was very good. But then we find something that is not good, and that was not good was that man should be alone.
And in order to get man ready for this helpmeet, God gave him, like you were saying, a responsibility and a restriction.
Yeah. When we get into the New Testament on the commands to the husband and the wife and the children, we're going to see the New Testament commands of what responsibilities do a spirit-filled family member have to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
What are those responsibilities? And we will expand on this right from the beginning, because any relationship that works, works based upon each partner, fulfilling his responsibility and accepting the God-given restraints of that relationship.
You know, it's interesting to me, and maybe we can end on this, Doc, and pick it up in our next broadcast. But if you follow the text literally, Eve was not present when God gave Adam the instructions and the warnings about the fruit and the eating of the tree and the not eating of the tree.
Right.
And Adam somehow must have failed in his responsibility to teach Eve.
Yeah, that we almost have to surmise that.
Right. It's not anywhere in the text.
Right. Because God gave Adam this responsibility, gave him that restriction. But it is significant that the serpent went first to Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how firmly Adam instructed her or warned her. But I do believe that Adam must have at some point very carefully instructed Eve, because she said that God said.
Right.
So Adam must have at some point
said something to her.
Said something to her on that. But there again is the role of protector.
And it's very interesting as we go back to the beginning and realize that there was a restriction and there was a responsibility that would make for a healthy relationship. And that's what we want to talk about in our next broadcast. Doc, thanks for taking the time to walk us through Genesis 2 and this important biblical theology of manhood. And we look forward to the next study together. Until then, may the Lord bless you.